Oh, thanks to Cody Ross. He's already pulled up some quotes. I've assigned him to give us some good fishing quotes, but there's one right up here that's just the fishing was good. It was the catching that was bad. We experienced that a little bit too. It's time to talk a little fishing here as well. Montana anglers, you've got a chance here too. There's some new regulations that are proposed for the 27-28 season. So we're going to put that on the plate too. But how healthy are Montana's fisheries really? On Friday, Monday show, we're going to talk about the recovery of the grayling population. But today it's just to kind of go around the state and find out how things are going and getting you ready a little bit for fishing, and then to talk about these new fishing regulations, because I think there's some surprising things in there. And FWP has always said, these are some of our ideas and your ideas. We need feedback. So we're going to get to that here today. Greg Lemon is with us. Adam Strainer. Let's go fishing here today on Voices of Montana. As I mentioned, there are over some 41 new regulations proposed for the 27-28 season. We'll get into that. It involves things like hooks and live bait and artificial bait, and then some new limits in certain districts, Central District and Eastern District. What's behind that? We get into it all here today with our friends from the FWP. Greg Lemon has been with us and a colleague for a number of years, division administrator, communication and education, and that's why he's frequently on Voices of Montana. Good morning, Greg Lemon. How are you?
Good, Tom. How are you?
Hanging in there. And it's Friday. Good. Only two more working days this week.
That's right. Maybe you can fish this weekend.
Maybe I can. Oh, I know I can't, so now I'm just depressed. Adam Strainer. Adam Strainer, another division administrator for the fisheries division. So, man, right in our wheelhouse today. Good morning, Adam. How you doing?
Good morning, Tom, and thanks for having us on today. Appreciate it.
Oh, I appreciate you guys coming on here today. And it's one of our fun topics to talk about is recreation in Montana here as well. But we take it pretty seriously, too. And I see that in these fishing regulations, a number of public meetings in mid-May. I'll get those locations here a little bit. I want to start off with, and Greg, I'm sure you'll defer to Adam here on a lot of this too, in terms of our healthy populations. But let's start off, Greg, with our fishing populations in Montana. What do people understand about them as far as the health? And I mean, it really is a huge recreational industry, and so there's a lot of focus on keeping it healthy.
Yeah, and you're right. I'll defer to Adam. Unfortunately, I defer to him a lot on fishing stuff. He knows a lot and humbles me with his knowledge. But I would agree with you that fishing in Montana is not only important to our culture, but oh my gosh, it's a huge part of our economy. There's over $1 billion worth of economic impact from angling in Montana, and that's including all the reservoirs and lakes and rivers and streams and fly fishermen and gear fishermen, and it all adds up. And Montana's people think about Montana as a hunting state, but more people come here and wet a line than you think. And so it's a big economic driver. And so these regulation proposals are really important.
Yeah, and I think the state has done a good job of opening up some access and making fishing more accessible. It's like one of those things that doesn't cost a lot of money to go out and do, and there's a lot of value in it, especially from that family perspective, but also individually. A lot of people go out, and it's therapy for them, too, so really important. So let's get to, Adam's the health of our populations. We're looking at warmer temperatures. We're looking at some invasive species. We do have this increased recreation pressure. Haven't talked about the drought yet, but you guys are always, that's something that's vital, I think, to understand. Where are we at? Maybe hit all those points a little bit and give us a good overall.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. Really for me, I rely on the diversity of our fishing portfolio here in Montana. We've got so many different opportunities, and that's really what we try to get out to anglers as they approach a new licensure. You've got your spring rainbow fishing on our large reservoirs, which draw people from near and far to these great, for example, rainbow trout fishing on Canyon Ferry and beyond. You've got, the pre-walleye a bite on a lot of our reservoirs as well, and that draws in anglers from all over the state. And, when things start to get a little I'll use an industry word here, a little turbid or milky. When the water starts to milk up a little bit, folks really, you know, the fly anglers especially head to a lot of our tailwater fisheries like the Missouri River downstream of Holter. But then as things start to warm up, you know, folks start to distribute across the landscape. We get folks in our high mountain streams. We get a lot of creek anglers. So there's just an ample amount of opportunities for any and everything that you like to fish for in the state of Montana. And then as you alluded to, and we can talk about this another time, you know, as things start to really warm up, we need to be cautious as we approach our fisheries to protect them, you know, now and into the future. And so there's a lot of things that go into, you know, getting information out to folks on the health of their fisheries and making sure they understand that we care about those fisheries and are you know, doing the best we can to manage and get information out about where and when, you know, you'll have those excellent opportunities for every species under the sun.
Yeah, there's a lot that demands the public attention here, too. And I'll go back to you, Greg, on this. You guys do a lot of education about invasive species. That requires the public participation there. All that increased recreation pressure, habitat, you know, and understanding what these warmer temperatures will do. So as Division Administrator, Communication and Education, let's talk a little bit about those increased pressures in various places. And some of that's reflected in those proposed 2027-2028 regulations.
Yeah, you know, it's really true. And so much of why people enjoy angling is the experience. And for some people, that experience is, you know, what's an enjoyable experience is a little different. And, you know, sitting out in a boat, you know, catching walleye, that's fun. Or being on a river catching rainbows, that's fun. But, you know, one of the things that always factors into it is, how are you by yourself, or is there too many people? Is there, you know, around you? And so, you know, over the last few years, you've nailed it. Like, we've starting to see a lot more pressure on some of our water bodies and our waterways. And so, you know, one thing that we've been working on the education side is just to give people, you know, a heads up, like, this is something that we can all help have a hand in helping. And that would be being courteous, being thoughtful, you know, being ready to launch your boat when you pull up to the boat ramp, you know, those sorts of things. They seem really trivial, but oh my gosh, they can go a long ways. Like, if you have a guy that pulls up to a boat ramp and backs down the ramp and then starts getting his stuff ready, yeah, that can ruin the experience for a whole bunch of people, cause a whole bunch of conflict. Just one person doing that. And we've talked about that before, how one person making a bad decision can really impact a lot of people. And then the other thing, obviously, Tom, is to protect our waters. You know, AIS is a big deal, and we'll talk about that forever and for always, because clean, drain, dry is the easiest way to make sure that Montana's water stay pristine.
Well, FWP and the people of Montana, I mean, it's not just your agency, it's the administration, the state legislature, I think they're very protective of that because they know the value. Adam, what happens when there's too much pressure in a fishery?
Yeah, there's many impacts that can occur when that pressure increases, and this just underscores the need for our programs that many folks are familiar with. You know, as we continue monitoring our standardized surveys, as we look towards research to identify, you know, new questions we have or the public has, as we, you know, double down on our understanding of the recreational uses, you know, across the state of Montana, each one of those components can have a big impact on the fishery as a whole. And it's really great for the support we get from anglers across the state as they understand the importance of our monitoring strategies, you know, as we do things like electrofishing that may impact, you know, that particular day, that the experience they're happening, but they fully understand that, you know, us gathering that fisheries information is important so that, you know, the other 364 days of the year when we're not there monitoring, we're ensuring that we have the best information to inform, you know, the regulations per se in that particular water. And folks know that, you know, one of the biggest challenges we have as a state is we've got this recreational fishing component, you know, things like rainbows, walleye, bass, but we also have this really important role of native species management across the state, which impacts places like in FWP's regions 1 and 2 and all across the state as far as native species go. But, you know, we have to, you know, walk that knife edge of recreational fisheries management with a nod towards those native species that we are charged as an agency, you know, responsible for protecting now and into the future. And so it's a great opportunity for us to understand the resource, to understand the impacts, and help folks really figure out what's the best strategy as they approach a year for fishing in Montana. The seasonal approach is really what I try to get across. You know, in the spring, like I said earlier, the large reservoir spawning fisheries like rainbows. Then you start to get into the summertime. You've got all your high mountain small tributaries. As the fall approaches, things really start to cool down and folks can get back out onto those large river reservoir situations. And then the winter months, that's the hard water time. And so there's so many different opportunities that folks can do across the state of Montana. And growing up here myself in Montana, that was my strategy. And I hope everybody enjoys that approach too.
Yeah, I can appreciate that. What are some of the areas that we're talking, and this just is like increased pressure. I mean, you have other areas where you're dealing with habitat degradation, reduced stream flows here and there, invasive species. But getting back to or staying with this increased recreation pressure, what areas do we see that are problematic? And I think part of that, too, is not just it's the non-fishers, too, the recreational boaters, which I love to get on a tube and float down the river as well, and float by some fishermen and say hello and try not to get in their way. Where are we seeing some of these increased pressures?
Tom, I just had a great visual of you and a unicorn floaty going down one of the rivers. So
you should not have shared that.
Yeah. Right. So the name of the game is right now down in Southwest Montana, we've got some recreational research that's occurring that's going to help us better understand some of those implications that you just described, you know, whether it be the tube hatch per se, general anglers, boat anglers, fly anglers, bait anglers, everything under the sun. So we can better understand how all of that collective recreation is impacting those sites, whether it be at a fishing access site, you know, a landowner that's gracious enough to work with us for access, whether it be, you know, a federal access location. As we start to better understand all of those impacts with an increasing population in Montana, everybody knows that, you know, post-COVID, this is the place to be. And we're seeing those impacts realized, and it's our job to understand how to redistribute that pressure and understand the impacts of the fishery. And that's one really big talking point here is there are instances, and I'll just use what I understand from my former life as a biologist. You know, there are places where the pressure per se has increased dramatically, but while we monitor that fishery, the fishing population remains static. Good. And so the question becomes, you know, how do we manage that if we're not seeing a fisheries impact? And so that's a big challenge that the agency has when we're talking about increased pressure across the state.
Well, Greg, I think you're getting some collaboration, some good collaboration on this, because you do have a lot of parties, some just the recreational side, some the independent fishers, you got the outfitters as well. What's your sense of that? I mean, I know at times we're going to conflict with each other, but I think everybody wants to get on the same page toward a good end.
Yeah, I think I agree with that too. And I, you know, we do manage recreation on some of our rivers, and I'm thinking about like the Smith River with its permit system, the Blackfoot River, the Big Hole River, Bee Red River, the West Fork of the Bitterroot, and so those are examples of places where we know there's a lot of pressure, there's a lot of activity, and by and large, you know, we've worked with lots of different groups that come together with a plan to try to manage some of that pressure. But yeah, it's a big deal, and so we keep looking for ways that we can help, you know, by improving access sites, by trying to improve access in general. You know, a great example is on the Missouri below Holter. You know, that's a really, really popular stretch of fly fishing water. But for that first, you know, I guess 8 miles or so, we have an agreement with a ranch there that allows access through their property to the river to fish and to waterfowl hunt. And, you know, it gives people that don't have a boat, that just want to get out there and wade fish, it gives them a lot of options. So those types of agreements are things we're always looking for to help provide opportunity and spread out the pressure.
Really, Montana still maintains one of the most productive wild fisheries in North America. Trout's a big one as well, but you get more towards central Montana, walleye to the eastern side as well. There's just a lot of great sport fishing in Montana. We are with a couple of folks who make sure, we try to make sure that that's healthy for us, not only for the fish, but for, you know, the fishermen as well, or a woman. Greg Lemon is with us, Division Administrator, Communications and Education, and then also Adam Strainer with the FWP Fisheries Division. He's the Division Administrator there. Thank you again, both, for coming on here. We kind of left off with the question about some areas that may be struggling a little bit, and we've heard about them as well. So, Adam, I'm going to go back to you on that. We kind of want to, and we've got fishing regulations to talk about, and there's some upcoming meetings around, and there's going to be one meeting in each region. They start May 6th, so I'll get those locations out here as well for the 2027-2028 season. But give us that overview of maybe where some of these populations are struggling and then how we can help.
One example, I wouldn't say struggling in this case. We're getting some input from the public, some more preferred sizes as Canyon Ferry. We're actually, as far as the walleye population on Canyon Ferry, we're in one of the best places we've seen from a monitoring standpoint as far as size, structure in that reservoir. But it is a case where, you know, the most cost-effective fisheries management tool we have when anglers are concerned about, fish size is more harvest. And in the case of Canyon Ferry, that's a great example where, you know, we're encouraging anglers to do their part with the pretty liberal daily and possession bag limits on Canyon Ferry to really harvest more of those small walleye so that we can impact the overall fishery. It's a pretty forage limited system. You know, the historic perch populations are nothing like what they once were. And, you know, that has impacts on, one of the primary target species on Canyon Ferry walleye. And the more we can encourage anglers to get out there and harvest some of those small fish, the better that fishery will become over time. So that's one example. And then I think earlier you mentioned, the concerns down in southwest Montana, if you really wanted me to get into
that. Yeah, the big hole, the beaver head, the ruby. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and so, post 2022, we noticed some issues with the trout populations as it relates mostly to brown trout in southwest Montana. And in turn, the agency took that very seriously with some public outreach and work groups to really identify some of the major issues, and that launched a series of studies with partners like Montana State University and some of our NGO partners to look into things like a recruitment study or the survival of the spawn fish and how they're doing to make sure we understand where those survival issues are. There's an adult mortality study where we've got some tags out. We're asking for the public's involvement so we can better understand, where those fish are at throughout the season and identify some causations for mortality throughout that area. We already touched on the recreation study, so we better understand the pressure down in southwest Montana. And then lastly, there were some reports of some pretty nasty looking fish down in southwest Montana. And obviously, anytime fish health issues arise, we take that very seriously. We've got dedicated staff in our fish health program that get out on the ground and really try to identify that. So we really launched those four major studies, and many of those are kind of coming toward the end of the process, but we're still encouraging, especially with the tag return information, we're still encouraging. That's one way anglers can really help us. Like when I mentioned, more harvest of small walleyes on Canyon Ferry, we also need to have folks get out there, catch some fish, report those tags, is every bit of data helps better inform management of our waters to make those fisheries that, you know, have been struggling in recent years all that much better.
Well, and data, I think, is what's behind, at least in part, this all these public meetings upcoming, Greg. And maybe let's get into that here, too. We're going to talk about the proposed regulations for 2027, 2028. FWP is on a two-year cycle in that regard. And they begin I think the first one's May 6th in Glasgow. I'll get to those. That's kind of on the other side of the break here. But talk about, your job or how FWP manages the public comment and that whole process. I think people have to have faith that their input is being put to good use.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that, Tom, and it certainly is. And this is, public process can be kind of laborious, a little boring, but it's really important. And the reason is that the commission, our Fish and Wildlife Commission, seven commissioners appointed by the governor, they're the citizen board that approves regulations. They do some other things, but in this context, they approve the fishing regulations. But for them to approve good regulations, we have to work with the public on getting those good regulations developed. And so where we're at now is we've got some ideas, 41 of them, and we want the public to let us know what they think about our ideas, and we want them to share with us their ideas. And then what will happen next is that we'll take all of that feedback, their ideas, their thoughts on our ideas, and we'll come up with another round of more specific draft regulations. And those draft regulations will go out for public comment, and that public comment will be all fed back to the commission so that the commission knows just exactly how people feel, what they think, and that's all critical when they make a decision. And we don't just need to hear from people that disagree with us. We're happy to hear from those folks. We really need to hear from people that think we're on the right track, because both kinds of feedback are really important.
I got a minute here before a hard break. Greg, go ahead and tease some of those proposed regulations.
I'm going to kick it to Adam. He's got his hand on the pole for that.
Adam's not going to do this in 30 seconds or less.
Hey, I got a good talking point, though, Tom. I would like to say, to build upon what Greg mentioned, the last time we went through this process, we had approximately 40 regulations that we brought forward. And during that time, we actually had some public-generated regulation proposals, like elimination of forward-facing sonar for paddlefish is a great one that came to us from the public. Mm-hmm. And we incorporated that particular regulation into our package. So anybody out there that doesn't think that we're not reading every single one of these comments and listening to you, the proof is in the pudding. A handful of those regs, I think four or five from the last process, are in the book because of public input. So it's a really important thing to mention.
Boy, this is a kind of a surprising number, 450,000 anglers annually in Montana, more than 1 billion, as Greg Lemon had noted here, to an economic activity. It is really front and center, especially spring, summer, into the fall, too. A lot of good fishing. We're talking about that here today on Voices of Montana. Greg Lemon is our special guest. Again, Division Administrator, Communication and Education. And then also the Fisheries Division Administrators, Adam Strainer, also with us. And you guys are just downloading great information. I appreciate that. I want to get to heat and drought. There's so many things I want to get to still. We've got the proposed regulations for the next 2 years, 27-28, on the plate. But Adam, I still want to get a sense of how we're going to be doing this year on the waters, fishing wise.
Yeah, so there's some pretty alarming information out there right now. Snowpack is really only present at the high elevation. I mean, maybe today, in the last couple of days, we've been blasted in a few spots throughout the state, but a lot of the low elevation snowpack is out. Keep in mind, and this is something, as the alarm bells go off for most, we were in a very similar situation not all that long ago here. And, 20 days from now, we got 5 inches of rain in southwest Montana, and all the reservoirs filled and everything greened up. Right. So, you know, May and June are two wettest months, so there's still a lot of time. But as we're all preparing for a pretty significant drought season, and so, and I think anglers are too, and they're well aware of what's going on out there.
Yeah, and unfortunately, we've this ain't the first rodeo we've been at, so I think a lot of people are sensitive to that. Let's get onto these regulations, Greg. And you know, and this is a good transition point here too, because regulations are to keep these populations healthy. Sometimes they're not everybody's favorite thing, but I think the end result it has been pretty successful over the years. You know, talk about that, and then let's get into some of what's new in these regulations.
Yeah, well, yeah, thanks, Tom. And the regulations, you know, once people drill into it, they'll see, you know, we've got some pretty specific proposals. Trying to get at some specific management objectives. And Adam, I'm thinking about, you know, the pike harvest proposals that are on the East Galvin, Gallatin, Jefferson, Madison. You know, where are those? Those seem pretty specific. Where are those coming from, and what's the objective behind them?
Yeah, thanks, Greg. So anytime in those situations, especially those drainages you mentioned, as pike become more established on the landscape and in water bodies that, you know, the agency has deemed less preferred, mostly from a native species. Anytime we're asking for increased, harvest on predators and especially rivers, it's usually due to, an increase in abundance in a place that we don't want them. And that's the case in most of these population locations that we're describing, especially once you start talking, you know, the core places like, anything in the main stem Missouri or Three Forks area. So anytime we can do what we need to protect better some of our native species populations, that's really the intent here.
Do you guys consider pike a predator? A predator, obviously, a natural species. I'm certainly not in some of these areas. Excuse me. And I know pike fishing, it's pretty popular, but pike can, you know, just wreak havoc with a habitat. Are you managing them?
Yeah, so there are places in Montana where a good, healthy population of pike, think closed systems, reservoirs that, locations where the species assemblage warrants having a really healthy pike population. Think places like Fort Peck Reservoir is a great example of a healthy pike population, and other predators in the system too. You know, where everything's working really well. It's those other places, and we've had great support from partners and NGOs and places. You know, really highlighting, hey, we might advocate for this species, but we recognize that, you know, they don't need to be everywhere all the time. And one great example of that right now is Holter Reservoir. We've really seen a spike in pike numbers, many different age classes, and we've done our best to try to manage that species in places like Holter Reservoir. Unfortunately, sometimes once they're in there established, they have all the necessary habitat, we might have to take it to further steps through regulations. And typically when you see, for example, a northern pike regulation go in place or an increase in northern pike harvest, that tends to be in a place where our tenured staff across the state have deemed, you know, this isn't the best place to have pike for a variety of reasons. And we really do see the need to increase those opportunities for liberal limits in those places.
A lot of stuff about this on fwp.mt.gov. I'm looking at the site now. Of course, there's the one we're talking about, public input on these regulations. But Montana has four unique paddlefish seasons. Three of them open in May. How to be safe fishing in bear country. And then there's this all things fish section here, statewide fisheries management plan. I there's a new one. We've talked about that a little bit here. Excuse me. That you're putting together a new overall management plan. This is a little bit laborious, but I'm going to give it out here. The locations for the upcoming meetings here. You're meeting in all of the seven regions, and you're going to have a statewide virtual meeting as well. So I would encourage people to go to fwp.mt.gov and look that up, because this is your part to play in this. Play it to your best advantage. Glasgow, Airport Road, May 6th. Miles City, May 7th. I'm looking around here. It's May 11th. That meeting will be in Billings. The 13th, then Great Falls. The 9th, I forgot the 14th. That's in Kalispell, Region 1. May 19th will be in Bozeman. May 21st in Missoula. So you kind of start those early in May, and they go all the way through this month of May. Greg, back to these regulations, okay? It's a two-year cycle. You talked about the process a little bit. One of those things that you guys do is look at, limiting harvests. Another thing that I found interesting was that some of the gear is also being talked about. And Adam, you mentioned it with those front-loading sonars. So overview of what people are looking at in this whole package of proposals.
Well, I'll turn it over to Adam on the specifics, but part of the regulations are all aimed at management objectives, and so there's always a reason why we want to consider something. Just like when the public comes to us and say, hey, I want you to think about this regulation or that regulation. There's a reason behind it. And so, Adam, on the gear regulations, I'm thinking about the proposals to limit bait and on the upper the Jefferson tributaries. Can you talk a little bit about that?
How about I'll zoom out real quick, because I do think one of the most important things that folks are going to see is that very first regulation, which we're attempting to clarify some of our big picture definitions of things like artificial bait, lure regulations. If folks that were involved in the process last time, we took a stab at clarifying things last time, and we recognized that it wasn't perfect, and we knew we'd have to come back. And really what happened last time was we ended up creating some language that wasn't as enforceable as our enforcement division was hoping. And so we worked with the enforcement division to really develop these new definitions that talk specifically to things like artificial bait. There was some confusion last time when we went to this more liberal use of artificial lures, and the historic intent there was to, only use that artificial lure language in very particular areas, and that became very confusing to a number of folks. And so what we've done here, working with our enforcement staff, working with our regional fisheries biologists and managers, is this is our attempt to make it more enforceable, a better understanding, and I fully anticipate through the scoping process this spring here in May, we're going to get a lot of input on this. And again, we know that this is our best attempt at making this more clear for anglers, but most importantly, we want it to be clear and enforceable. And so while you're approaching each one of those notions related to bait or lure regulation clarifications for our definitions, just keep that in mind, and please feel free to send your any and all comments related to that.
A lot of work goes into keeping our fishing, our fisheries really up to speed, up to par, and beyond that. And we're talking about that here today. Montana anglers, you're being asked to shape the next 2 years, of regulations, and that opportunity here, especially coming up in May for some of these public meetings, talking about the health of our overall fisheries populations. Upcoming on Monday, we're going to stay in this vein a little bit, but get more specific. Montana's had an iconic Arctic grayling population, and that has needed some work over the years. Well, guess what? That work has been pretty successful, and there's a lot of people to thank in that. There's some landowners that are going to be on the air on Monday. We'll be joined by Caitlin Colloy, and I hope I'm saying that right, Matt Yeager, to talk about that. They're also with the FWP, but that is one specific area where you had to get landowner buy-in, you had to get group buy-in to recover those species, and it's been relatively successful. Back here again with Adam Strainer and Greg Lemon. kind of just got one more cast here. You know, final thoughts and enough time for a couple of things here. Greg, is there anything that you want to put out there for us to remember?
I'm appreciating we got one last cast. I feel like it's always a long shot, that last cast.
But yeah, right.
The main thing I want people to remember for this, and it's real boring, I get it, but man, I heard a good friend of ours, Randy Newberg, say this the other day on a podcast that you get the regulations you deserve, and that I don't know that I would put it that way, but I would say that if you're not going to engage in the regulations and commenting on what you like and what you don't like or what your ideas are, then you know the regulations are going to get done anyways. And so now's the time to say it. And if you want to get your line in the water, now's the time to do so.
Excellent. We still got a couple of minutes, Greg, and Adam, and I want to talk still where the fishing is going to be hot. I mean, we should at least ask, point us in the right direction. You know, where are you not telling us we should fish?
Oh, so you want the secret places?
No, it ain't gonna happen.
Yeah, you know, two places that have been on my radar, and I've just been impressed with the species assemblage and opportunities here in the last couple of years. One is, of course, the lesser known Fort Peck Reservoir. I think everybody's well aware of the incredible walleye fishery that's out there right now, as well as the Chinook fishery. You know, we've had some state records here, you know, north of 30-pound Chinook salmon caught, I think, in 2024. And that's all in large part to our great hatchery staff out at the Fort Peck hatchery, keeping that fishery cranking. So it's not a secret by any means. There's over 100,000 anglers coming to that place annually. But if you get a chance this summer to go to Fort Peck, you will not be disappointed. The other place, more central, and I guess I'm a little heavy on reservoirs today, but Holter Reservoir in central Montana, that place, Perch, Rainbow, Kokanee, if you get a chance to go there, you will not be disappointed. And while you're searching for those, you probably catch so many large, like 3 to 5 pound rainbows, you won't know what to do with yourself. So incredible fishing around in those two particular locations. So if you get a chance, get to those places.
Thank you. Fishery, as a fisheries biologist, talk about, you know, your one more cast here into these proposed regulations.
Yeah. My take home message here is not only do you get an opportunity to talk about these 41 proposed FWP regulations, but this is your chance every 2 years moving forward to bring us your proposed regulations for the state of Montana. And so if you have some ideas during these two-year cycle processes, now is the time. So and just like Greg said, we encourage you to get out there, get to the meetings. At those meetings, you'll get to meet with possibly your commissioner who will hear your voice and bring that message to the commission, as well as you'll get an opportunity to learn how you can get your message about our proposed and your proposed regulations to Fish, Wildlife, and Parks.
So do you guys get, like, fishing days off, you know, like sick days? Do you get fishing days off?
You know, I'm going to bring that to our HR specialist, and I really think we should somehow figure out how to add that to Department of Administration's reasons for leave.
hunting days off, that might be another one to throw out there. Hey, thank you guys for the work you do, everybody. I know it's a large agency, and it's a large task as well, but Montana is with you on all these things. Greg Lemon and Adam Strainer, good job today, and we'll be talking to you down the road, okay? Have a great season.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you guys for making us part of your Montana day as well. Thanks for joining us for the podcast, and join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.